Whether it's comedy, action adventure, drama, horror, and everything else in between, all movies at least have one thing in common. They all share a message with you. This is Movie Night Apologetics, where I, movie apologist Clark, review and examine movies and their messages from a Christian perspective. Well, what is up, movie lovers? Welcome back to the podcast that loves to show you the goodness of God in the movies we watch. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about Wonder Woman 1984. And it may not be as good as the original Wonder Woman movie was, but it has a compelling theme to it in that it takes this idea of what would happen if every human in the world had their wish granted. And I'm going to be comparing this with why doesn't God always answer our prayers with a yes and amen. And just as a little teaser, I'm going to give you just a little bit different perspective that I found out from the Bema podcast I listened to at work about why God places the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden, because it does relate to this theme in the movie. But before we get started in dissecting this movie, can I just ask you if you could please rate this podcast 5 stars if you haven't already? One of the reasons why is the more this podcast is rated, the more it will be seen by the people who are searching for a good podcast to listen to on movies. And another reason is I just want this podcast to be out there because I believe in a good God that wants to be known to the world. And I'm doing that through the movies that tell stories to people on the big screen. And my goal, as always, for this podcast is to be a bridge for people who come from all different walks of life. And that's my hope, is that by the end of each episode, as best as I can, is that you see the God of the Bible as so amazing and wonderful and beautiful. And I want Christ to be at the center of this podcast, as always. And so I want you and I want others to know him. So please rate it 5 stars and share this podcast with a friend, family member, or coworker, because I've often found out that if a podcast is recommended to me by a trusted person, a friend, family member, or coworker, I will likely listen to it more. One of my favorite podcasts is Truth Unites, and that was recommended to me by my pastor, and it's been one of my favorite podcasts for over a year now. So anyways, that will be helpful for me. And again, thank you guys for listening to the show. And with that, let's discuss Wonder Woman 1984. So 60 years have passed since the first Wonder Woman movie, and we see that Diana still hasn't recovered from losing Steve Trevor. And we find out that there is this rare artifact called the Dream Stone that was created by a god called Duke of Deception. What this Dream Stone is capable of doing is granting wishes from the people that ask it any wish their hearts desire. And the catch is it comes with a price, and guess what? This price, spoiler alert, is not a good thing, and we're going to soon find out why. And so we see Diana say her wish, and without knowing the consequences, her long-lost love, Steve, comes back into her life. Anyways, there is this one point in the story where a failed businessman named Maxwell Lord, and we're just going to call him Max Lord at this point because Maxwell Lord is just kind of a mouthful, but he takes his dream stone and wishes he was the stone, which would give him the ability to be able to grant anyone's wish so that he can bargain with them and be like a sought-after king, which is kind of weird because you think you just say, hey, I want to be a sought-after king out of all the earth. I don't know. That's just my opinion. A little bit of a plot hole, I think. But anyways, and so the problem is with this is what we saw in the first Wonder Woman, and what we see in our real lives and what the Bible says about the state of our hearts is that we aren't good. You know, it says that the heart is deceitfully wicked. You know, who can know it? It says in Romans that everyone has fallen because of their sin nature. You know, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Like, there's no one good, it says in Romans 3. And so we are sinful and selfish, and therefore we cannot handle being able to have our every desires met, because again, our desires most of the time are selfish. And I honestly believe this movie is an accurate depiction of what would happen if this dream stone was real. We see people wishing people dead without seeing the negative consequences. There are people who ask for fame and fortune only to find out that it completely ruined their lives. And I think if you go on the Pursuit of Happiness episode that I did, I talked about people who had like fame and fortune and they're like, crap, like, is this it? Like, that is not the answer. And then we see Diana's friend Barbara wishing to be beautiful and popular and powerful like Wonder Woman, and she eventually loses her humanity when she wishes to become an apex predator. And the president of the United States, even as shocking as it may be, I know it's hard to picture a president doing something really stupid. But even this guy, he wishes for nuclear weapons to be closer to the Soviet Union, all the while not realizing that it would create tensions and cause a war rather than keeping peace with other nations. And the parallel between this movie and our real lives is, do we treat God like Max Lord? That's the question I want to ask today, because I've confronted my Christian nationalist brothers and sisters in Christ in the Batman vs. Superman episode that I did a couple weeks ago. And I've confronted my hyper-charismatic Christians in Wonder Woman episode that the devil isn't to blame for every evil on this earth per se. Like, yes, he's the ruler of this world. Like, all that we see is because he whispers into people's ear. But at the end of the day, we as humans, we have to own the fact that we're sinful and we do sinful, rebellious things. And now I really want to confront with, and I want to say this with grace and truth, of course, my prosperity gospel Christians should believe that God wants to give you the good life with a nice car and house and without any problems. And I want to ask this question for us today. For me, for you guys, what would happen if all our prayers were to come true? And as we have been going through the series, in the superhero movies, and I've often quoted from Frank Turek's book, Hollywood Heroes, and I love this quote by him in the chapter talking about Wonder Woman. He says, if you've ever wondered why God isn't answer some, maybe even the most of our prayers, this movie, along with Jim Carrey film, Bruce Almighty, which I'm going to have to do that movie for an episode one time, but can help you see why. As we saw when we discussed why God allows certain evils, there's a ripple effect at play. No matter what God does in response to your prayers, there's a ripple effect of outcomes that you can't foresee, but God can, and God may say no to your request so that the best long-term outcome is achieved. And think about it this for just a moment. I want you to look back this past week and ask yourself, what have you requested that God do in your life? What have you honestly asked God to do in your life? What your prayer request would your prayer requests benefit the people around you, or are they all self-centered around you? And that is the issue with the prosperity gospel, is it's all about the me. I want the car, I want the house. And not that it's wrong to pray and ask for God for a job or a house or promotion at work or for your health to be good or for you to find that perfect someone that you can spend the rest of your life with. Those are all amazing things that God blesses us with. But maybe if you're praying all those and some of them aren't being answered, maybe it's because God knows that giving you what you want could actually be harmful to you. Just like we've seen again in the Wonder Woman 1984. And so to give you kind of a real life example, I was like typing all my notes and manuscript and whatever out, while my wife was in the kitchen doing something. And I think I can't remember what she was doing. She was working on something. I think she was working on her Bible study. But anyways, I was going through this. So I'm like, you know, like, what's one prayer request? I asked her, I was like, what's one prayer request that you've asked God that you wish were to come true, but it didn't come true? And now you're thankful that it came true. And she gave me this example when she was 18 or 19 years old, had this crush on this guy named David, and she was asking God, like, hey, you know, should I enter a relationship with him? And she wanted to because she wanted it to work because she wanted someone interested in her. And so her roommate found out, and she told Bethany, my wife, to do Bible dipping. And if you don't know what Bible dipping is, you basically ask God a question, and then you open up your Bible at random to any part in the page, and at random you put your finger on the text, and then whatever the Bible verse is that's what the Bible says, that's what God is saying to me in this particular moment in my life. And I'll be honest, I totally have done this when I was a baby Christian. And I don't recommend it because that isn't the way to read scripture and find out God's will for your life. And we can get into a lot of trouble with just cherry picking verses out like that. But however, God meets us where we are at. And he met my wife at that moment because guess what she turned to when she asked if she should be with David. And no, it's not the David and Goliath story where David is the hero. It's actually where David's the villain and he's committing adultery with Bathsheba. You know, he goes out on the rooftop. He's supposed to be at war. He goes out on the rooftop because he's all like lazy and he's just like, yeah, I don't have a purpose now. I'm just going to chill. And he sits on the rooftop and he watches this beautiful woman bathe and he's like, I want her. And he has a servant go get her and he commits adultery with Bathsheba. And then she gets pregnant. He's trying to cover up the, her pregnancy by having Uriah, her husband, come back to sleep with her. But he's like so gung-ho about the guys back in his military camp that he's like, I can't do that. I got to sleep out on the front porch here. And David's plan backfired to cover up his sin. And then and then he sends Uriah into the front battle lines to have him killed so that Uriah wouldn't find out. And so it was a whole big story, a big scandal in the Old Testament with David. And that's the story that she landed on. And that was confirmation to her to not seriously pursue David. And it turns out he wasn't that great of a guy. And guess what? Now look who she gets to be with. But anyways, do you see why God doesn't answer our prayers with a yes most of the time? Because he knows what is good for us and what isn't. He can see the outcomes of things we can't. And we have to trust God that even though his prayer requests are a no from him, that doesn't mean he isn't in it for your best interest. He knows what's best. He knows the outcome. Like, he loves you. He wants to be in a relationship with you. He wants you to trust him. And he is not going to say yes to something most of the time that's going to harm you. Now, he will sometimes if you just keep pursuing him like old Abraham did when he was like, God, like, I want to know if am I going to have a son? Am I going to have an offspring with Sarai? And finally, God was like, yes, you're going to have an offspring. He gave him just enough, a little bit information to be dangerous. And then he thought, oh, well, maybe I'm supposed to have an offspring with our Egyptian slave servant, Hagar, and that's where my offspring will come. And it totally backfired on him. It created tension between Sarah and Hagar, and it had this whole big mess. And so God did what Abraham wanted, but he didn't give him all the information. And so you would have to read and look at the story and then go into Galatians and see the whole picture of it. But it, you know, sometimes having the information or having and asking for what we want from God doesn't always work out. And sometimes if there isn't an answer, maybe that's in our best interest. And for those prosperity gospel Christians, he isn't interested in making us comfortable and giving us our best life now. What God is interested most is us being transformed by the Holy Spirit to make us more like Christ. But the question then is, how do we become more like Christ? And what I love about the end of this movie is that Wonder Woman, she is battling a villain, kind of. You know, Max Lord is kind of the villain of this movie. But she's trying to take out she is asking the whole world to renounce their wish. She is asking them to do what Jesus says, and that is to take up our cross, deny ourselves. They should deny themselves. That's what Wonder Woman is saying in this film from a Bible perspective, and say, I renounce my wish. Wonder Woman saying, hey, renounce the wish you made. She gets at the heart of the matter, and thankfully, people all over the world saw the truth that what they originally wished for was causing them immense harm. And finally, after many people renounced their wish, Max Lord renounced his, and everything became restored, and Max Lord and the rest of the world said, enough is enough. And they had the self-control to say, no more. This is causing chaos. This is causing damage. And this is where I want to get into the brief discussion of Genesis 1 through 3. And I've talked about it before on multiple episodes, like Genesis 1 through 3 is just so foundational to the Christian faith that God made everything. He made everything good, and the man screwed it up, and then he's going to redeem man the rest of the whole Bible. But Genesis 1 through 3 made me think of this question. Have you ever thought of what makes you and I image bearers of God? I think most of us would say love. But isn't it true that animals love? I mean, trust me, you don't want to run into a grizzly mama bear in the woods, because you know what she's going to do? She is going to defend her cubs, and she will straight up murder you. She's going to love her cubs enough to go at bat for them. Then there are some would say what makes us an image bearer of God is that we reason and we think. But if you notice in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3, we are introduced to the serpent. Now, this serpent walks like a human, talks like a human talks, and reason like a human reasons. Why is the author of Genesis doing this? You know, I believe that Genesis happened. Genesis 1, I believe that God created everything, of course. I believe in a literal Adam and Eve. And I do believe that the serpent walked, talked, and reasoned. But why is the author giving us these details? Because what defines us as image bearers of God goes deeper than just those things that make us human. If you read Genesis 1 and 2, we see that God created everything. He created the heavens and he created the earth, and every physical thing we see, God created. And now most people, if you ask them, you know, how many days did it take for God to create everything? I think a lot of people would say 7, but actually it is 6 days. And just to preference, I'm not here to say if it's a literal 6 days or millions of years or, you know, whatever. Like, that's not the point of Genesis 1 and 2. The point is God created everything, and that it was done in a beautiful, constructive way. The earth and the cosmos wasn't born out of chaos and destruction, but rather goodness and order from a loving triune God. And God made everything in 6 days. And then what does it say? It says he rested. What we as believers don't notice most of the time is that God rested. He had the self-control to say, enough is enough. I am done with creating. My creation is beautiful and good. He says, I'm resting. I'm going to give my creation to my image bearers to rule over it and take care of the earth. But what does God do when he created the Garden of Eden? He puts a tree in the middle and tells man, which we'll see is Adam, to not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And why does he do this for Adam and for Eve? Why did he tell Adam and then Eve to not eat of the tree? Some say, well, God wanted us to have free will. And part of that is true. I think it goes a little bit deeper than that, though. I mean, it's along those lines for sure. But I think from listening to the Bema podcast, which is a wonderful podcast, by the way, it looks at the Bible from an Eastern perspective rather than a Western perspective. If I could just share with the difference between a Western perspective and an Eastern perspective is that an Eastern perspective basically wants to find meaning in the text, and a Westerner's perspective is it wants truth. So that's kind of like the short description of that. But I think from listening to that, God wanted Adam and Eve to have access to all the fruit and trees in the garden except for one tree. And the reason is because they are image bearers of God. God used self-control to say, you know what? Enough is enough with creating. And he wanted them to exercise self-control in the same way and say, enough is enough with eating. Everything Adam and Eve saw in the Garden of Eden, he wanted them to be able to say, I don't have to have that. I don't have to eat that. So he wanted them to have self-control. And God wanted Adam and Eve to be like him, exercising self-control. And if you have ever seen wildlife, you know a deer doesn't wake up one morning and just go, you know what today I'm going to do? I'm going to go on a diet. You know, I feel a little fat and pudgy around the waist. I think I'm just going to take it easy on the leaves. I'm going to take it easy on the grass. I'm just going to drink water today, and I'm going to go for a run. No, animals just keep eating and eating and eating until their hearts are content. And God wants us to be different. He wants us to say, enough is enough. For Adam and Eve, it was, you don't have to have every tree to eat in the garden. For married couples, you know, you don't have to, you are supposed to be faithful to one spouse. That, you know, men or women are not your oyster. I mean, you are supposed to exercise self-control in your marriage. You know, you're supposed to exercise self-control in your lust and your desires. And I just noticed this as I was typing this out the other day, because in our last breakfast stories that we had at our church, we had a guy talk about self-control, which is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And I thought, you know, the last of the Ten Commandments that we see in Exodus is, you shall not covet. Basically, you should not idolize what other people have. You should not want what other people want. It's okay to want things, but you know, you need to be content, and God wants you and I to be content in him and say thank you to what he's given us. And again, not that it's wrong to ask for things, but look at this Wonder Woman 1984 movie. Is wanting and wishing for stuff we don't have the answer to our problems? No, our hearts, again, they're deceitful, and we don't know what's best for us, but God does, and we need to say, God, have I been praying to you like these people in Wonder Woman 1984? Am I using you like the people use Max Lord in this movie? Are you only going to God for the things your flesh wants, or are you going to him because you want him and to have a relationship with him? I know for myself, at times, I have used God in a genie-like manner, but a few years ago, I listened to this John Piper sermon that got me thinking differently about how to pray, because I was praying to God and using him like a genie, or treating him like a UPS delivery driver, like, thank you, God, for giving me my package. Now, leave me the heck alone. And if we're honest, the people that we like the least in our lives are the people that only take from us, but never want to get the time to sit down with us and get to know us and have a relationship with us. We need to do the same for God and say, you know, Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Now, I'm just so grateful that Jesus died for my sins and he rose from the dead so that I can have, and that I could be reconciled to you. And then you open up, you read your Bible, because that's the main way God speaks to us, is through his word, and you find out who he is in it. And then you say, okay, Lord, help me become more like you. And as you are on your walk with him, be honest and open about your needs. He does care about your needs. I mean, if you look at when the disciples said, you know, Lord, teach us how to pray. You know, there were needs in that prayer, but they weren't the ultimate thing. They were down the list. You know, it's like, hallowed be your name. Like he wanted them to pray like, hey, hallowed be your name. Like your name is glorious. Like it should be said in the utmost respect. And then he says, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done. So like our will should be that his will is done. You know, you see the progression here. It's like, let's revere his name. Let's want his will to be accomplished. You know, let's not give into temptation and evil. Let's forgive our people for their trespasses and sins. And then we say, give us our daily bread. Right? So there's a progression there. Like that's one of the things I hate about some movies sometimes. Like when they say the Lord's Prayer, I'm just like, you know, I remember, I think it was the Purge movie. The Purge movie, if you don't know what that movie is basically, in the future, and it's like one day a year where people get to just basically not follow the law. They can murder, they could steal, all that. And I remember there was this like rich people about to murder like this one guy that they hated. I think, don't quote me on this, I'm just kind of recalling in my memories at the moment, but they were saying the Lord's Prayer while they're about to murder this guy. And I'm just like, this is just, I don't like it when the Lord's Prayer is portrayed in a cult-like way, because it's not supposed to be a cult-like way. It's supposed to be this beautiful, glorious thing, and wicked men have used that to just twist it, and I don't like it when they do that. So, yeah, go to God for your needs. With all that said, go to God for your needs. But remember, like, let's not have the needs be the only thing. Like, let's go to God for our relationship with him, to ask for forgiveness, to pray for our enemies, to ask for his kingdom to come and that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because I'm going to tell you, like, looking at this movie, I don't want to be using God as like a max Lord. Like, I don't want to go to him just because I want something. That's not what I want to do. He wants you to say, and I to say, I have enough in this life. I don't need every tree in the Garden of Eden. God gave me enough because I have him. And this is a good place for us to leave off for this episode, I think. Because next episode, I'm going to be talking about Harry Potter, because I'm just running through the gamut of people, like Christian nationalist, hyper-charismatic, prosperity gospel people, and now the people with the controversies that you'll get really legalistic Christians that'll be like, no Harry Potter, no, like, you know, like I guess back in the day it used to be, you know, no hats in church, and people were very legalistic about that, or no guitars for Sunday worship, and people were legalistic about it. But back in my day, it was Harry Potter. That was the big news. And so we're going to be going through Harry Potter next week. And then after that, I'm going to be concluding the Hollywood Heroes series. And then I'm going to only have about a few episodes left for this year. So we got the Harry Potter ending the Hollywood Hero series, and then I got three more episodes for this year. And I got some exciting things in store for 2025 that I'm currently working on and that I'm excited to go over. And just as a little tease for you, for about the first 12 episodes next year, I am only going to be focusing on two movies. Yes, that is right. You heard me correctly. Two movies. And you're going to see why when I get there. But let's just say they are controversial. And I really need to break them down and do them justice because they're important topics to cover. And I really want to do my due diligence in studying and to break it down for each episode. I think one movie is going to be like seven episodes. Another one's going to be about five. And so it's going to be good. I'll let you guys know probably the last episode of this year. I'll give what I'm going to be doing for my next series. But anyways, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. Please share this with a friend, family member, or coworker, and give me a 5-star rating on Spotify or your favorite podcast app. Because remember, the ratings really help me to be able to grow this podcast, to share the gospel with the world, and to just show people the goodness of God in the movies we watch. We really need to see the goodness of God in our lives. I really do believe that. So anyways, thank you guys. And like my friend Blaine always says, don't party too hard without me. What? Catch you guys later. Whether it's at home or at the movie theaters, Movie Night Apologetics exists to help you, the listener, know the Christian worldview through the movie's messages. I am movie apologist Clark, and this is Movie Night Apologetics Podcast.